Welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth. My name is Vishal Tekshinani, and I'm NabTrade's Customer Insights Manager. Today, rather than having her host the program, I'll be interviewing Gemma Dale about a recent change to the superannuation legislation known as the downsizing contribution. You may have heard of it, and it certainly led to a lot of questions from our listeners and customers. So Gemma, welcome. You've said publicly now that this legislation is not really going to be helpful to most people. So I really want to talk to you more about that. But first, what can you tell us about this new legislation?
Hi Vish, how are you doing? Look, this legislation was introduced with the stated objective of giving older Australians an incentive to downsize their homes in retirement, which we know a lot of people want to do, to free up some cash and also on the other side to free up housing supply after some very strong price rises in particularly the major cities over the last 5 years. So that has the potential benefit to help younger people who want to get into a home more supply. It was announced in last year's federal budget, so it's been passed into law now, and it'll come into effect on the 1st of July 2018, so a few months from now.
Right, so I see why this legislation has gathered so much attention. Housing affordability is, after all, such a big issue, especially for first-time home buyers looking to get into the market. So downsizing is often a strategy people consider either in or as they near retirement. So what exactly is the incentive offered to get people to downsize their existing homes?
Sure. Okay. So what the legislation does is offer people who are over the age of 65, who sell their home, the opportunity to contribute up to $300,000 from the sales proceeds of that home to superannuation. So what's important about it, and there's a number of caveats, which is quite interesting, about the contribution is it's not counted against the contribution caps. So they're now $25,000 a year for pre-tax contributions and $100,000 a year for post-tax contributions. And if you're over 65, you need to meet a work test in order to be able to use them at all. So it's not counted against those caps. It's completely separate to that. It's not counted against the total super balance cap when it's used to determine whether or not you can make non-concessional contributions. So that's where if you've got $1.6 million across all of your super balances, that would preclude you from otherwise making a non-concessional contribution. And it's not counted against the age limits, which mean that once you're 75, you pretty much can't contribute to super at all. You also don't need to meet the work test in order to be able to use it. And so you've got this extraordinary situation where you probably wouldn't otherwise be able to contribute to super. Many people would like to if you're over 65, but you might be able to do it using this measure.
Okay, so we'll get into whether or not this is a good idea or not in a minute, but let's clarify the qualifying criteria. You have to be over 65 to use it. Is that correct?
Yeah, so you have to be over 65 at the time that you make the contribution. You also need to have sold a home that you've owned for at least 10 years, so that 10-year period is important. And it needs to have been your primary residence at some point during the period that you owned it. So I keep saying home, it can be an investment property, so long as you did live in it at some point, it was your primary residence. You need to make the contribution within 90 days of the change of ownership. So once it's no longer yours, you can only use a provision once, so you can't keep doing this, although given that 10-year requirement, you probably don't see yourself doing it that many times during your retirement. And the amount that you do is limited to either $300,000 or the proceeds of the sale. So if you sell a home for $200,000, you can't go and make a $300,000 contribution. The other really, really critical thing is the legislation comes into effect on the 1st of July, so you can't use it prior to that date, and you would want to have a contract of sale after that date if you did want to use it.
Right, and Gemma, something that's really important for people to know is that from a timing perspective, it's when the contract is entered into and not when the transaction settles. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's really, and that applies to most things with capital gains tax and so on. A lot of transactions, people think of the date that something is settled rather than the date that the contract's entered into, but it's the contract that's most important.
That means you don't need to have made a capital gain on the property, and also possibly that you don't actually need to use this and downsize your home. Is that right?
Yeah, so this is what's really interesting about it. It's called a downsizer provision. That's how it's referred to. You don't have to downsize, right? That's not what's happening. You just simply need to dispose of the property and therefore be able to contribute in some way. But if you want to, if you sell a place for $1 million, and go and buy a place for $2 million, you're still potentially eligible to use this contribution if you happen to have some extra cash, subject to that $300,000 limit, of course. And you also don't need to buy another home. So you could go and move into a rental, for example, or move into a granny flat in your child's place or something like that. Rent back the place, that's another option. So there's a whole lot of different variety of options available to people. If you wanted to use one of those other options, you'd obviously need to have cash available to make the contribution though.
So Gemma, that's an interesting opportunity if you've got a spare bit of change lying around. And also something to clarify is that this contribution strategy applies on a per person basis.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So if you're in a couple, you effectively have a limit of $600,000, but it applies to your proportion of the proceeds and so on. So it works out slightly differently for a couple, but the $300,000 applies per person.
Okay, Gemma, so on the surface, this all sounds pretty good. In fact, it all sounds pretty generous, but there's a catch and you're going to tell me more about that. Is that right?
Look, there are two main things for people to consider. The biggest one, and this is really, really important, is that the Social Security asset test still applies in the same way it always does. And the way that it applies currently is that the personal home, so your family home, is not assessable. So there are two different tests, one for homeowners and one for non-homeowners. So to that extent, you get a bit more if you are not a homeowner and you do rent or something like that. But at the moment, you can, and this, if you listen to Talkback Radio, this comes about quite a lot, you can own a $20 million mansion and still get the age pension in Australia if you don't have a lot of other assets. So the family home is sacrosanct under Social Security legislation. And in this scenario, if you are freeing up a large amount of cash and contributing it to super as part of a downsizing arrangement, that amount you've contributed to super is now assessable for Social Security purposes. So it's suddenly counted against the assets test where it wouldn't have been previously. It depends on the way you arrange it. But if I give an example, I had a $1 million home in Sydney, and I apologise to anyone who doesn't live in Sydney and the numbers seem ridiculous. It is ridiculous, but $1 million is actually below the median house price in Sydney these days. So let's imagine you bought your home many, many years ago, you've sold it for $1 million, you decide to downsize and move somewhere much less expensive. If you freed up $600,000 and you're a couple and you put that $600,000 into superannuation, buy another home for $400,000, that $600,000 is now assessable. If you happen to have other assets that were also assessable, it's possible that you could wipe out your entire age pension.
Right, wow.
So that age pension, which most people rely on in some capacity in their retirement, would no longer be available to you or would have been reduced quite substantially. That's not a great outcome for a lot of people.
Okay, so Gemma, that actually sounds pretty painful. How many people would be affected by that? Is it a large or a small proportion of the population on the age pension?
So the numbers have changed a little bit because the assets test did change at the beginning of last year. But estimates from the ABS show that about 80% of the population over the age of 65, which is the cohort who are eligible to use this provision, actually get some form of Social Security in retirement, whether it's a full age pension or a part age pension, or they may be getting DVA, so Department of Veterans Affairs, if they're veterans. And that is, for many people, their sole or primary source of income in retirement. So it's a huge proportion of the retiree population, and it's quite frequently a huge proportion of their income as well.
Okay, Gemma, so it sounds to me like if anyone is considering or thinking about this strategy, they really need to look at the potential impact on their age pension, and they also need to think about whether it's actually worthwhile or not. Would there be reasons to do it anyway, even if you lost your pension?
Right, so it's really important to say, I'm not saying this is a terrible idea or that downsizing is a terrible idea. A lot of people want to do it because they know that, you know, the most valuable asset for most Australians is their home. And certainly after the last 5 years with rapid house price growth in our major cities, that is very true indeed. And the people who've benefited most from that are people who already owned homes, right? So many retirees are in that situation. So you may wish to downsize for a variety of reasons. You may no longer be able to keep up the home itself. It may be too big for you now. You might want to move to be closer to family. Lots of good reasons to do it. But looking at the financial reasons, so excluding any personal reasons, looking at the financial reasons, you do need to consider whether it's beneficial from a Social Security perspective. And the other one is tax. Tax is a really interesting one. So super is very advantageous because it's concessionally taxed. That's why people like it. And the concessional tax rate, if you're over 65, again, this cohort of people, and start an income stream, so you have an account-based pension or something similar, is zero. Unless you're over the $1.6 million cap, when you are capped at 15% in accumulation phase for that other amount of money. So you can start a tax-free income stream, but most people do, and that's a really attractive option. The value of this legislation then is that you can take this $300 or $600 or amount up to and contribute it to this zero tax environment, assuming that you're eligible for that. The obvious point though here, it's really important to recognise, is that the average retired Australian doesn't have a tax rate anywhere near above zero, right? So the average tax rate for Australians over 65 is zero, not just because they have their money in super, but because there is a senior Australian's tax offset, which increases the amount you can receive tax-free up to about $58,000 a year for a couple. So you can get 58 grand a year as a couple, the couple part is important, paying no tax plus your super income stream, which is tax-free on top of that. So the idea of chasing a tax-free environment is not super useful for most people. You're not paying any tax anyway.
So Gemma, from what you're saying, it's clear that people who rely on the age pension may not benefit from this. And even if their pension is not significantly affected, really they need to be earning a fair amount of non-super income as well. Is that right?
Yeah, so that non-super income point is interesting. So as I said, up to $58,000 if you're in a couple, or nearly $58,000 if you're in a couple tax-free, you may still be in a situation where it's worthwhile. But let's say $300,000, you take it and put it into superannuation. If it's earning 5% per annum, if you were on the top marginal tax rate, the maximum amount of tax you're going to pay on the earnings on that is going to be maybe $7,000 a year. So you would have to be earning over $180,000 a year before you would pay $7,000 a year in tax to be able to make that $7,000 saving by putting the money into super. So you can see that's just a dramatic difference between the people who are going to benefit from this and the average person.
Okay. But a cohort who may benefit from this is perhaps people who are still working at 65 or after the age of 65 and they're in their peak earnings period. Is that right?
Yes, that's a really good point. So there are plenty of people who are still working after the age of 65, and many of them are earning very good salaries and very good incomes because that is when they have their peak skills and their peak knowledge and all those sorts of things. So if you'd like to get more money into super, you're over your cap, so that's a very real possibility for someone who's sort of 70 and earning very large amounts of money. Then this is where it could be attractive. So it's not going to be an incentive to downsize on its own, but realistically, if you are wanting to sell your principal place of residence or a place that has been your principal place of residence at some point for some reason, and tax is an issue for you, so you're earning over $180,000 a year or any meaningful amount, you're not getting most of your income from super income stream, you may have exceeded your $1.6 million cap, all those sorts of things, then this one could be quite beneficial to you. But it is worth remembering that once it's in the super environment, so let's say you wouldn't otherwise be able to get the money in because you're over the 1.6, once it's inside super, it's still counted against the pension transfer balance cap, so you wouldn't be able to turn it into an income stream if you're over 1.6 anyway.
So Gemma, we've talked about the social security implications and the tax and super implications of using this type of contribution. What else do you think people should consider when they're downsizing?
Look, as I mentioned, there are plenty of reasons why people downsize that are not tax or super related, right? And previously, they definitely weren't tax or super related. They were mostly about freeing up capital, or they were about moving closer to family, a tree change or a sea change, all those sorts of things. So if you have made that decision, right, and it's a personal decision, you've thought through the financial implications and you're not going to be disadvantaged. It's probably the more important point. The other thing is you've got to think about the transaction costs because they are quite substantial. Stamp duty is very significant if you are selling a reasonable sized home. Again, major cities is probably the critical point there. If it's not a terribly valuable home, then less of an issue. You also have to think about real estate agent costs, moving costs and all of those sorts of things. Again, using that median house price of over $1 million in Sydney, you should assume that it's going to cost you $50,000 plus to be able to undertake that transaction. So it's 5% of your capital, not insignificant.
And of course, if you're going to rent and your age pension's been impacted, that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, so certainly if you were thinking about renting in a major capital city, that cost is significant also.
So it sounds to me like at the end of the day, there aren't a lot of people who are going to really benefit from this. But there could be some opportunities for some people. And for those who want to explore this option, they really need to consider the consequences.
Yeah, so our very strong recommendation to anyone who is thinking about this, and it's certainly gotten a lot of press and a lot of attention, people are excited about it, is make sure you have a very clear understanding about what the likely consequences are going to be for you before you do it. You don't want to put yourself in a situation thinking, I'm going to save a bucket load of money and isn't this marvellous, and then you lose your age pension and your income's been cut in half. So there are lots of interrelated variables. Consider all of them in advance. My suggestion would be that you go and seek professional advice on this one. So before you undertake any transaction, before you even put your house on the market, go and see a professional who understands this legislation and can tell you what the implications are going to be. A financial planner can obviously help you. The other person who is definitely worth considering as a free service, and they do a fabulous job, is the financial information service offered by Centrelink. So there are people called FIS officers, financial information service officers. They're employed by Centrelink literally just to tell you what the implications of your choices are for Social Security purposes. They're super well informed. They're great people to talk to. Make an appointment. It's free. Do that, or they won't give you financial advice, so they're not going to tell you what to do. They will just tell you what the consequences are, or go see a financial planner. Make sure you see someone who has helped you think through all the implications before you take advantage of this one.
Gemma, thank you so much for coming in to talk about the downsizing contribution and the pros and cons of this provision and where people can go to find more information. Like Gemma said, if you are interested in exploring more about this strategy, it's really important that you do your research and consider getting personal financial advice. And absolutely, please go to the Centrelink website and see Centrelink for more information about how this all works. My name is Vishal Tekshanani, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.